We're ready to begin now in our study in the 8th chapter of Ezekiel. And beginning with this chapter through the 19th chapter, we have a series of lessons about the condition of the people of Judah, both those that are still in the land of Judea and in the city of Jerusalem, and those that are already taken captive in Chaldea with Ezekiel. This 8th chapter shows just how far the people had gone in worshiping idolatry, just how terrible their departure was. He shows Ezekiel some grievous abominations that are occurring right in the temple itself. And so it's a lesson more about the religious error of the people. Beginning with the first verse, "And it came to pass in the sixth year, in the sixth month, in the fifth day of the month." So, since his prophecy began in the fifth year, in the fourth month, this would now be 14 months later, being the sixth year, in the sixth month, in the fifth day of the month. So, he dates the time of the prophecy. So, this would be in the sixth month of the year 591 B.C., Continuing in verse 1, "As I sat in mine house, and the elders of Judah sat before me, that the hand of the Lord fell there upon me." So Ezekiel is now in his house, and he is in the presence of the elders of Judah. That is the learned men, the leaders, the ones who would be capable of taking the oversight of the people in that area. They were before Judah. Now, no doubt they were discussing their situation. They were discussing the prophecies of God. And they might have been making fun of Ezekiel's prophecies. They might have been trying to chide him into changing his idea about things, or trying to persuade him that he was wrong. This is hard to say, but while he was discussing with these elders of Judah, the hand of the Lord fell there upon him. That is, God was ready to give him another vision, another prophecy concerning the condition of the people. Verse 2, "Then I beheld, and lo, a likeness as the appearance of fire, from the appearance of his loins even downward fire, and from his loins even upward, as the appearance of brightness, as the color of amber." So in this verse, Ezekiel sees an image that is very similar to the image that was on the top of the cherubim that he saw in the vision in chapter 1. And as we mentioned, this image was in many respects similar to what we would think of the Messiah being. But he just sees him as the appearance of fire now. It's fire from his loins downward and from his loins upward, a brightness as the color of amber. And this color of amber is the color of gold and silver mixed. Verse 3, "And he put forth the form of an hand, and took me by a lock of my head, and the Spirit lifted me up between the earth and the heaven, and brought me in the visions of God to Jerusalem." So this image then carried Ezekiel back to Jerusalem in a vision. He states that it's in a vision, in the visions of God. We don't have to wonder, did he actually go or not actually go? It seems that he clearly states that this was a series of visions he's going to see now. He was lifted up between the earth and the heaven, and so that he wasn't left really here on this earth. He was some place in the air, in space. And then this vision was given to him. Visions of God to Jerusalem, to the door of the inner gate that looketh toward the north. Now, as I understand the construction of the temple had an outer court and an inner court. The outer court was for the people. The inner court was for the priests. And this door of the inner gate would be a door separating the outer court from the inner court, And this particular gate that he was talking about here was one that was on the north side of the temple. And he says, as he saw this door of the inner gate, where was the seat of the image of jealousy, which provoketh to jealousy. So he saw an idol here that was designed, of course, to provoke God to jealousy, and we know any idolatry would greatly provoke the feeling of jealousy on the part of God. He saw this idol, and he refers to it as the seat of the image of jealousy, which provoketh to jealousy. So this is the first horrible thing that Ezekiel sees as he gets to this gate that should lead into the inner court where the priest would be. He sees this great idol, this image of jealousy. And this is spoken against in the prophecies that God gives back in Deuteronomy when he talks about what will happen if the people turn from him. This idea of provoking them to jealousy is mentioned. I'd like to turn to Deuteronomy 32 and read verses 16 and 21. In verse 16, they provoked him to jealousy with strange gods. With abominations they provoked him to anger. Verse 21, they have moved me to jealousy with that which is not God. They have provoked me to anger with their vanities, and I will move them to jealousy with those that are not a people. I will provoke them to anger with a foolish nation. Now there's some question as to whether or not these things actually existed identically to the way Ezekiel saw them, or whether this was simply a vision to portray the wickedness of the people. We do know from reading about the conditions in Jerusalem that there's a very good chance that these things that Ezekiel saw could be quite literal. It does not have to be all just a figurative description, but we could have a very literal happening of what Ezekiel saw, and everything here was truly an abomination. Let us remember that Ezekiel was a man who had been trained for the priesthood. He had much respect for the articles of the temple, the house of God, for the seat of the religion and worship of the people. And as he sees these foreign, strange, obnoxious things there that are a slam on the true and living God, truly Ezekiel must have I've been very, very disheartened and just sick at the sight of it. Verse 4, and behold, the glory of the God of Israel was there, according to the vision that I saw in the plain. Now, of course, the vision he saw in the plain revealed this mighty war wagon, this chariot, this cherubim of God, in which he had the four living creatures, and he could move so fast and had so much power and the great noise. This thing that demonstrated God's ability to carry out vengeance on those that turned against him. And so he saw this great cherubim, according to the vision that I saw on the plain. Verse 5, then said he unto me, Son of man, lift up thine eyes now the way toward the north. So I lifted up mine eyes the way toward the north, and behold, northward at the gate of the altar, this image of jealousy in the entry. So as he looks up to the gate, he sees this image of jealousy in the entry. It's some kind of an idol. He doesn't describe exactly what it is. Any kind of an idol, of course, can be termed as an image of jealousy. It can be termed as something that's going to provoke God into feeling that he's being replaced by another god. It's really not a god, of course. And it's a very accurate and justified feeling on the part of God to have. It's not some frivolous feeling that he would have. It's very accurate. When we put any kind of a thing in the place of God, in this case it was some kind of an image. We try to use it along with God. They had it right there in the temple, in the place where the rest of the worship of God was carried out. And it forces God then to have anger and jealousy. So he saw this this image of jealousy in the entry. Verse 6, he said furthermore unto me, Son of man, seest thou what they do, even the great abominations that the house of Israel committeth here, that I should go far off from my sanctuary? He's asking Ezekiel, can you really see what's happening, Ezekiel? Do you see these great abominations that are here, that Israel is committing? They're making me leave my sanctuary. They're driving me off. I'm having to go far off from my sanctuary. I'm having to abandon the temple. I'm having to abandon this place that has been built to be a house of worship, a house of God, the place where I meet with the priest, the place where I get the worship of the people, and I give atonement for sins. I'm driven off from it. I'm having to leave my sanctuary. You see what's happening? It's a great abomination. And as we see this initial vision of Ezekiel, with this image in the entry there to the door of the north gate, it reminds us of those today who will build what they refer to as a house of worship, and they want to adorn this with all kinds of images, things that are actually supposed to represent holy and religious things to them. And we know this is an abomination with God. From my own experience of visiting the so-called missions built by the apostate church in this country over the past 200 years, as you go into these buildings, you see draped all around the walls these images of the Virgin Mary, images of Christ, images of various so-called saints. Now you see crosses everywhere. Crosses inside the building, crosses on top of the building. You see steeples, these towers, all these things that have been put up by man as some kind of a religious remembrance, a religious effect. And really, these are abominations to God. God has never given us permission to do this. He has never given any indication whatsoever that the Christians can use any kind of an article like this as a religious symbol, as a religious thing around which they are to rally. They're not to bow down to it, or pray through it, or even use it as a symbol. It's not to be done. But yet man persists in putting these things up. In the very place that he wants to meet with God, he's going to force God to come in the presence of one of these articles. And so it's an abomination. He calls it the great abomination that the house of Israel committeth here. And it forces God to leave. God's not going to stay in the presence of these things. He will not stay there. You know, Israel didn't feel like they were bringing in something bad. They thought they were bringing something good. Bringing just another God. An image of some kind that they felt like God should be pleased to have it. That they were enhancing the temple by having this image there. And it's an idolatrous thing. At no time are we ever told to take any kind of an image and use it for religious purposes. This would include the cross. The cross, which has been in existence for centuries before Christ came and used for religious purpose among all the heathen nations of the world, from the American Indians to the people in China, the people in India. You just name a religion, and somewhere or another there's going to be a cross involved in it. God never intended for his people to take the cross in that way. But yet we see that almost every organization that refers to themselves as being Christian, somehow or other they want to build an image of a cross. And these are abominations with God. These are competitors to God. And these are actually things that would make God jealous. And so he describes this to Ezekiel. And after making this statement in verse 6, he says, But turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations. Verse 7, and he brought me to the door of the court. And when I looked, behold, a hole in the wall. Here was another door that Ezekiel was brought to, or maybe it was the same door that he saw originally. But as he came right to the door, there was a hole in the wall. Verse 8, then he said unto me, Son of man, dig now in the wall. And when I had digged in the wall, behold, a door. And he said unto me, go in, and behold the wicked abomination that they do here. So here was a place that was a concealed area. It was a secret place, still located in the temple, in the holy place of God. And he got to it by digging through this hole in the wall till he came to this door. And then he was told to go in and behold the wicked abomination they do in here. So I went in and saw, and behold, every form of creeping thing, and abominable beast, and all the idols of the house of Israel portrayed upon the wall round about. So in this room, there was every form of creeping things, and abominable beasts, and all the idols of the house of Israel. They were portrayed on the wall. They were either painted on the wall, or hung on the wall in the form of a picture, or maybe hung on the wall in the form of an idol or an image. So Ezekiel is beholding now what is described as wicked abominations that they do here. These are things that, as we mentioned, are more or less secret things. They are the things that the people are not really portraying so publicly, but they're still doing them. They're still participating. They're still practicing the recognition of these things. Verse 11, and there stood before them 70 men of the ancients of the house of Israel. And in the midst of them stood Jezaniah the son of Shaphan, with every man his censer in his hand, and a thick cloud of incense went up. Now, of course, I realize that a lot of these things have to be symbolic, but they have also deep meaning. He talks of 70 men of the ancients of the house of Israel. These 70 men would have to represent the powerful decision-making body, the political body of Israel. 70 is a complete number. We read when we're reading about the Jewish Sanhedrin, for example, that this was a body of 70 men with the high priest, composed of the scribes and the elders and the priests. And so this is a number indicating the political power of the people. They were here involved in this thing. And you know, we hear people today who say, well, there are so many learned people who feel this way. There are so many people who have gone to school and have their doctors of divinity degree, and they agree that it's all right to do this thing or all right to do that thing. They don't seem to be saying anything against it. So it must be all right if all this number of people think it's all right. But that, see, is an error, because here in the situation that Ezekiel saw, the 70 men of the ancients of Israel were right in the midst of this. They were deeply involved in this idolatry. And in the midst of them stood Jezaniah, the son of Shaphan. Now, Shaphan was the scribe or the secretary of King Josiah. He was a man very high in political power. And his son was there. So Ezekiel sees a recognizable person here that was high in society, high in political power, high in the eye of respectability. And here he was deeply involved in this very thing that is such a wicked abomination. And then he describes that every man his censer in his hand, and a thick cloud of incense went up. They were actually ascribing a worship here, or giving a worship in this condition, in this situation. A censer in his hand with a thick cloud of incense, indicating their prayers, their sacrifice, their respect to these images on the wall in this secret room. Verse 12, then said he unto me, Son of man, thou hast seen what the ancients of the house of Israel do in the dark, every man in the chambers of his imagery. For they say, the Lord seeth us not, the Lord hath forsaken the earth. Now, Ezekiel is seeing what these people are doing in secret, and he says, the ancients of the house of Israel, every man in the chambers of his imagery, they do it in the dark. Whether these things are just being imagined by the people as they do them, or whether they're actually going through the literal motions, it's all the same. Ezekiel is seeing what they're doing. And they say, the Lord seeth us not, the Lord has forsaken the earth. That is, the Lord's not around. He doesn't know what we're doing. The Lord's not going to bring any kind of judgment on us for this, because the Lord really doesn't know about this. This is our business. It's not a God's business. But we want to do it, and we're going to do it. So this is a very sickening thing to Ezekiel to see this happening in the temple. But we see how deeply involved the people are. The high up and elite of the land are deeply involved in this idolatry. They have these things in their imagination that they want to do. It's nothing they got from God. The Word of God didn't tell them to do this. They've imagined. They have the right to do this. And here again today, we see the very same thing happen. Man thinks, if I do it, God has to take it. God has to like it. He has to want it because I'm doing it in all sincerity, and I want to do it, and it looks good to me, and so God has to accept it. But I'll tell you, this is an abomination to God. It is a thing that will condemn you or any who practice this. God will not accept it. It is idolatry. We'll conclude at that point for this time. Thank you.